everyone, I'm Ryan Durkee, and on this episode of Here to Listen, that's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen, I'm chatting with Nate Weir, who I'm affectionately dubbing the internet's hottest nerd.
Thank you very much. It's very sweet. I don't know about that, but appreciate it.
Now, Nate has more than 2 million followers across TikTok and Instagram, and he's certainly more than meets the eye, consistently transforming people's lives through fitness and making people smile. And as always, I'll be asking questions which go beyond the fluff, covering the past, present, and future on a range of topics. So without further ado, let's welcome Nate Weir. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me here today.
Of course, I'm excited. Let's get right into it.
Perfect.
So I was hoping to start with, how would you describe your content to someone who's never seen it?
That's always funny, because anytime someone knows me for my content, I'm like, oh no. But it's interesting, because when I started my content, it started, you know, with, which is my passion, but nerdy, you know, it was nerdy, wholesome, Disney, Marvel, Star Wars content, lightsabers, that type of stuff. But as time went on, you know, you're kind of understanding what the algorithm's giving you and the people, what they're wanting. And I kind of became more and more thirsty, where definitely my top came off every once in a while to show off my my body. And through that, it's kind of developed into a little bit of a mix of fitness, mixed with, you know, like you said, nerd content. And it's kind of all over the place, but definitely thirsty, nerdy, and fitness related content, I would say.
Thirsty, nerdy, and fitness. I mean, I feel like that's what the algorithm wants, right? So yeah, apparently. I think you're playing right into it. And you know, based on that, what would be your favorite type of content that you create? Because I know you create different types of content. What's your favorite?
Oh, my absolute favorite content has to be just the, you know, the skits, the very like straight nerdy, quirky, fun loving stuff. Often it's with Nicole, my girlfriend, where we're just like, you know, doing something really stupid. Like, you know, it's one of those things that I understand that the thirst traps get the views, but they're definitely not my favorite things to do. They're just, yeah. I understand that it's entertainment and it helps me get a larger audience.
That's great. So it sounds like you're putting out the content, you're getting the viewers, and in the future, you're hoping to maybe transition into more content that fits what you really love to do, right?
Yeah, I think right now I'm actually kind of in this, I would say, transition period of my content, which I'm excited about, where I can do a little bit more of my own lifestyle type of thing. Yeah. I'm able to talk to people about, you know, who I am, what's important to me, you know, what really resonates with me. And then at the same time, I'm able to bring in more educational content, whether it's fitness or whatnot, because now that I have at least an audience and there's some people that know me and know my face, I'm able to hopefully give a little more substance.
And that's why I was so excited to interview you, because I've seen your content, but I feel like I didn't really know the Nate behind the content. And I was hoping that this interview can kind of dive into that.
Of course.
I'd like to go back a little bit and ask you about the past. You know, what was your childhood like growing up?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think I had a very like, you know, what do you call it? Stereotypical household. You know, when I grew up, like, it was me, my older brother, 2 years older than me, mom and dad in a house, growing up in Calgary, Alberta, in the middle of the suburbs. Like, there really wasn't much to go off of. I was, you know, that sheltered boy. I grew up actually very conservative, which has kind of changed in the, obviously, as I grew up, but that was kind of the start to my life in that very sheltered way. We moved out to Toronto when I was about 9 years old or so, and at that point my parents split up, and that was kind of a little bit, I would say, the start of my kind of we'll call it transformation to the next part of my life, where I did end up putting on some weight, kind of lost who I was. Really didn't love myself, and having to, you know, refigure that out in my late 20s.
And what was that like while you're figuring all of that out? I mean, going through a lot of changes, you said, with your parents splitting up, the move, and then also going through changes in your own life. What was that like? What was that moment like for you?
Well, I think, you know, it was definitely hard when my parents broke up. Like it would be for any child or household, but I will have to, you know, you got to give them credit. They put me and my brother first before anything else, and they made it as easy for us as possible. So, you know, I love and care for my parents so much and appreciate everything they did, because I still grew up to be the same person I think they would have hoped for me to have been, whether they were both there day after day or, you know, spending time with one or the other. So I definitely, you know, owe them a lot to that. I think what happened though is once I kind of got into my first relationship, that was when I kind of lost myself, because I didn't really understand. Well, the way I like to think of it now is I was afraid of losing people. So I was kind of settling into whatever I could and became complacent. Got into a very toxic relationship that lasted for way too long, completely lost who I was. Like I said, I put on a whole bunch of weight, didn't love myself, was, you know, had no self-confidence, no self-esteem, didn't, you know, share my love of Disney really, or let my nerd self kind of be shown or anything like that. So those were kind of those years that, I just kind of stayed in a bubble and didn't really do anything. So it wasn't until after that that I figured out who I was and was able to show the world that.
And you talked about, thanks for sharing that, by the way.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, you talked about not loving yourself during that time. Would you say that you love yourself now?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, it's one of those simple things that you always hear over and over, is like, you can't love anyone else if you don't love yourself. Right. And it's so true, because, you know, I feel like I have so much love to give. And that is one of the things that, I want to share with the world, is, you know, how beautiful it can actually be, because there's a lot of crap and a lot of people that like make the world a pretty dark place, but there's also a ton of us that, like, you know, just want to have a good time and enjoy our time and make it a more beautiful place. And I definitely feel like you know, growing to the point where you don't have to be perfect, and understand that if you're making the most out of every day and doing everything you can, you're worth, you know, love from others and absolutely love from yourself. So that's what I try to do.
I love that. And, you know, I hope that message resonates with a lot of people that are watching or also taking part in enjoying your content. And it definitely seems to come across that you like to make people smile. And, you know, another part of your content is doing the cosplay and dressing up as Disney characters or superheroes. And, you know, when you're growing up, did you find that they were role models in a way to you?
They were, and I think that's a big reason why I dress up and stuff like that, is not actually necessarily because I want to. Okay, let me rephrase this. Of course, I want to be one. Like if I could be on you know, on the TV as a superhero or something, amazing. That would make my life. But I think a lot of what it is too is I understand how so many people want to escape their own reality, right? And they go to either comic books or movies, whether it's, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, or DC, to escape into these other fantasies. And you know, whether they're pretending that they are living them or just as a moment of relaxation from their own life, it's a way to just get pure enjoyment. And, you know, it's one of those catch-22 things where none of us can or should escape our real lives, because, you know, it's where we are and it's what we've got to do and make the most out of. But we all need that break. Like, we can't be on 100% of the time. Like, we need that break. And for me, dressing up in cosplay is actually less for me, I would say, than for other people. I love cosplay. I love these characters. Like I said, you know, you can see my background here on Zoom. I just love all things geek and nerd and all that type of stuff. But at the same time, I fell into cosplay by accident, and it's super expensive. So I don't go out of my way to buy like really nice cosplays or anything like that. But I also know that when people see, you know, Spider-Man or Superman on their TikTok or their screen, a lot of times they get excited, or they, you know, fall into that fantasy of some sort. And whether you're an adult or a kid or whatever it is, it's kind of a nice break from reality.
Yeah, definitely. And whether it's an escape for you or for other people, it's great that you're providing that. And, you know, I think that that can be in different ways. Like you said, it could be comic books, could be movies, could even be music as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey everyone, just a quick break here. I wanted to thank everyone for watching and listening, and ask that you show your support by engaging on social media, whether that's following us, liking the content, sharing the content. You can do all of that over on social media at Here to Listen Pod. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen Pod, P-O-D, on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, huge shout out to the supporters on Patreon. You can join on Patreon, patreon.com/HearToListenPod, H-E-A-R, To Listen Pod, P-O-D. And if you're part of the gold or platinum tier, you can actually hear an extended version of this interview. That's right, more content, more questions. You can hear that by subscribing to the gold or platinum tier. You can also join the silver tier. Just like in the gold and platinum tier, you will get episodes the day before they air for everyone else. So thanks again. It truly helps to support what I'm doing and my passions and my dream. Okay, so a fun question here, kind of on that topic. If you had to choose one Disney character, who would you choose and why?
Hercules, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Hercules has always been my absolute favorite character of any genre, you know, as long as I can remember. But, you know, it's the movie meant so much to me. Growing up, of course, it meant a ton to me because it was like kind of like, you know, the stereotypical, and, you know, I don't want to gender anything, but like the stereotypical boys movie for Disney when I was growing up. And then as I kind of fell into my, I'm gonna call it re-love or love again for Disney after I kind of went through the transformation in my late 20s, you know, I put that movie on and I realized that like, this is what I want. Like I want to know where I belong. You know, it was kind of the start to my fitness journey, kind of getting in shape, you know, looking at Hercules, the whole, a hero isn't measured by the size of his strength, the strength of his heart. Like that quote in general has stuck with me day after day, because, you know, it's one thing to look a certain way, but it's completely different to act a certain way. So I think Hercules has completely changed my life. And even from that, you know, my cosplays of him and everything, I've been given amazing opportunities to actually, one of my best friends now, his name is Andres Deja, who's the original artist and creator of Hercules. So, you know, anytime I'm in LA, I'll hang out with him and his partner. And, you know, it's become such a big part of my life that Hercules 1,000% has become the movie and the character for me.
Wow. And you talked about the meaning behind the character, and it kind of ties, you know, that answer ties into my next question, which is, you know, talking to you in this interview and even before us chatting a little bit, it seems like you're a genuinely kind and open guy. And how do you make sure that that comes across rather than people getting lost in your looks?
You know, I think there's a couple pieces to that. And the first is sometimes you can't, right? Like straight up, like you've got 6 to 10 seconds in a TikTok sometimes. And on a lot of those, the ones that are getting seen are just me taking my shirt off or something. So it's like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that probably just think I'm a straight up, you know, a narcissist, whatever it is. But, I try and cut my losses too. And with that, do these type of things, whether there are interviews like this, or I go on live and I'm able to talk to people, you know, whether I do share the rest of my life through Instagram on stories, or I do other posts on TikTok, you know, whether they're seen or not, that's out of my control. And I think at a certain point, we all have to realize too, that we can only, you know, control our lives. We can't control other people. So if other people, you know, only look at me a certain way or leave me comments or something like that, you got to just remember that that's not in your control and you can't do anything about that. But so long as you're putting that content out there and in some capacity, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, like I said, other TikToks or stories or interviews, it gives people the opportunity to educate themselves and learn more than that. You can invest in a lot of things in life, but I think the most important thing to invest in is just who you are as a person, because, you know, social media puts everything out there. And no matter who you are and what you've done in the past, it'll come out at some point, mm-hmm. right? So you just make it known, like, there's literally nothing in my life that, and I'm lucky because I haven't done anything really bad in my life. But like at the same time, it's like I'm make sure that people know that they're able to ask me absolutely anything, that I'm open book, and if it's something I'm embarrassed of or something that I've done that isn't great, you know, I can tell people I've learned from it and yeah. move on.
I mean, that's so great. It made me just think of another question is, you know, how do you set those boundaries though? Because obviously these people feel like they know you and you are an open book, but at the end of the day, they may not know you the same as your close friends or family. And, you know, with social media, a lot of it feels, and it is a community, right? But how yeah. do you kind of set those boundaries so that things don't go too far or you don't feel uncomfortable?
Oh, it's, you know, it's hard. I think there is a lot of boundaries you have to set, and I've kind of been learning more and more. Obviously, the more followers and friends you get, but yeah. it's kind of both ways. Like, one of the things that I was told, and one of the things I do is, you know, if you post something on TikTok, you'll only look at the comments for the first 10 minutes. Because after that, you don't know where that video is gone and who's looking at that and what they're doing. And so for me, it's like, yeah, I'll start by answering the first 10 minutes, because usually those are the people that are coming to look for my content, the ones that are, like, you know, my friends or, you know, loyal fans or whatever it is. And it's usually good comments. So that's kind of the first boundary just for myself, just to keep my, you know, optimistic, you know, peace of mind, all that type of stuff. But, the one of the biggest boundaries and hardest ones is, you know, drawing that line between, you know, friendship and, well, stepping over that line of really, I don't want to say not becoming someone's friend, because I would like to become everyone's friend. And I think there's an element where you have to be everyone's friend, but there is definitely a line where you can't share your entire life with everybody, because it becomes too much of a burden. And a lot of people, when you give them that much of yourself, especially when you're an empath or something like that, they will start to expect, help that you can't provide because of time. So it's hard. And I feel really, really bad about it a lot of times, because I want to be answering all these questions and talking to people and creating these close friendships, but you can't. So it's hard. It's very hard.
Thanks for sharing that. And I think it's so important to set those boundaries. So I'm glad that you are. On to the next question. What does it mean to be a kid at heart?
Kid at heart. I don't know. To be honest, like, I think there could be so many different looks to that. For me, it's just, you know, understanding. So, okay. I think a child, their work is play, right? As an adult, work is work, right? So for me, when I think of what's a kid at heart, it's someone who wants to play, who wants to have fun, who wants to be happy, you know, who's always looking at the bright side of things, who's optimistic. You know, when we're a kid, we don't have a worry in the world, right? We're not, you know, worried about anything, and we're just, you know, there to have fun. So I think being a kid at heart really is, you know, having that life where you are doing what you can to make yourself happy, enjoy the things you enjoy and not let the worries of the world pull you down as much as they have, right? And I think, you know, a lot of people relate to being a kid. Oh, you like kid things and all this. It's like, no, I like cool things that are fun. And like, you're like, I mean, if you were to ask any guy out there, if they like swords, most likely they'll say, yes, I like swords. And I was like, why? And they're because like, you know, it's a sword. I'm like, exactly. Right. So I don't know. But we definitely lose track of being a kid. And there's that whole, you know, alpha toxic masculinity thing that has kind of eaten up this world and made people just, you know, hard and sad. And it's really unfortunate. So I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot more I can come back to on that one, but yeah, just loving life and enjoying it.
So I noticed that you have that flag behind you, right? That is that mm-hmm. is that the trans flag?
Yeah, it's trans pride flag. Yeah.
So you know, what does the LGBTQ plus community mean to you?
Oh man, it's it's super, super important to me. I mean, the reason I have this flag, you know, I wear a wristband for trans pride and all this day after day because one, my girlfriend Nicole, she's trans. So obviously that in itself is hugely important to me. And you know, there's been so much terrible legislation and stuff that's making, you know, people's lives really hard. So it's important to at least let people know and share with the world that it's a normal thing. Like the first it's just normal. There's nothing else about it, but and to try and get people their actual human rights is super important, no matter who you are, you know, color, race, religion, doesn't matter.
And you know, growing up in a conservative household, how have those discussions gone with your family?
Good. I mean, well, and again, I'm very, very privileged. Like I said, being a straight cis white male, growing up anywhere in the world, you know, you've kind of have it easy. And you know, I understand that. So, but I mean, simply as an example, with Nicole, as an example, her being trans and talking to my mom about that, like, conversations have been different, good, all things considered, but it definitely gives me an understanding of, you know, the conservative old school mentality as well, because when I had those conversations, you know, it was definitely a touchy subject, right? And at the same time, it's not a subject that should have to be a subject. So when I first, I'm just going to use the conversation with my mom as an example. But when we first had those conversations, we didn't talk about it. It was like, yeah, this is the girl who I care very much for. We've started dating, blah, blah, blah. Her name's Nicole, blah, blah, blah. She's an actress, so on and so forth, right? Left it at that. There didn't need to be any discussion about, you know, her past, her being trans, anything like that, because frankly, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter, right? And so knowing my mom though, and her being super invested in my life and all this type of stuff, I knew she would snoop around and go onto the internet and you know, Google her and all this type of stuff, which she did. And to be honest, I was kind of counting on that because, you know, it one didn't have to be something that I talked about to her unless she brought it up. And so the next time we had a conversation, she brought that up. It was one of the first things she had, you know, asked. And I knew it was going to come up. And she said, so Nicole's trans, are you okay with that? I was like, yeah, why wouldn't I be, right? And she's, so then she said, well, it's going to make people think of you differently. And I said, good. Honestly, the people that I want to think of me in a, like, either good or bad, I'm going to know who, what people I want to have around me. The people that think of me differently in a good way, great. I want to be their friends. I want to get to know them. People that, you know, think of me differently in a bad way, one, I don't have to be around those people, or two, I can hopefully change their mind and let them know that this is a normal thing. So, you know, that was, you know, a very kind of interesting question that I hadn't thought of, but was very important to me. My mom, being who she was, took the time, even before this conversation with me, to, you know, look up Nicole, see her TED Talks, read her autobiography, learn about it. And she, you know, she was like, you know, I just want you to be happy. I want you to be safe. And she was very supportive, all things, right? So
that's great.
You know, I love her so much. And that was just one instance of, you know, where I think, well, her and me, to be honest, one instance of where someone's mindset can completely change, given the opportunity and education.
Hey everyone, just a quick break here. I wanted to thank everyone for watching and listening and ask that you show your support by engaging on social media, whether that's following us, liking the content, sharing the content. You can do all of that over on social media at Here to Listen Pod. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen Pod, P-O-D, on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, huge shout out to the supporters on Patreon. You can join on Patreon, patreon.com/HereToListenPod, H-E-A-R, To Listen Pod, P-O-D. And if you're part of the gold or platinum tier, you can actually hear an extended version of this interview. You know, you talked about Nicole, your partner, and, you know, it seems like she's accomplished so much. She talked about TED Talks. I mean, even being TV's first transgender superhero, it seems like she's really creating even new lanes for all kinds of people. And I know she describes herself as a trans activist as well. And so, yeah, I mean, it seems like together, even the two of you could accomplish a lot and in changing people's perspectives, right?
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, it's, I think it's definitely one of those things that, once again, I'm going to say, being a white, straight, cis male, I'm very privileged. So being given the opportunity to speak about this type of stuff, is slightly a catch-22, because I don't want to take the voice away from those that need to speak, right? But I also have what I feel like is a social responsibility to speak on these topics still, right? So it's kind of like, one, where do I kind of draw this line? But, you know, that's why I'm so thankful for Nicole too, because she's able to be there and be that voice, and hopefully I can be there beside her and amplify her voice in some capacity, right? You know, when people say like, oh, how can you be straight if you're dating a trans woman? I'm like, because she's a woman and I like women. That makes me straight. Like, I don't know what else there is to say about that, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot I can say about it. Yeah.
What were some of your passions, or, you know, your dream career that you had in mind as a kid?
To be honest, I didn't really know. Like, growing up, all I wanted to be was a good husband. I know it sounds weird, but
really?
That's literally all I wanted. It was like, I just want to make some woman extremely happy and love her and all that type of thing. But, you know, I guess as I was kind of going through school and stuff, something creative. That's what I knew. I knew I wanted to do something creative. You know, I thought maybe I'd go into game design, go into animation, which I did, and have enjoyed it. But you know, over the last few years too, like, as you go through life, you will change what you want to do over and over and over again. And I'm at a point now where, you know, I love creating communities. I love being on camera. I love talking to people. So what's next for me? I'm not quite sure, but, you know, I hope it has to do with, one, content creation, being on camera, whether that's, you know, trying to act, or, you know, get into a little bit of modeling here and there just for the hell of it. I don't know what it's going to be, but I definitely want it to be something creative where I'm on camera, I'm able to talk to people and create communities.
Yeah. And I mean, already you're doing that. So I'm sure you're making your younger self proud, you know, being able to do that. And I mean, you still have time to be the perfect husband or a great husband as well. So thank you. Thanks for sharing that. You know, if you were sitting right now with your younger self, what would you tell him?
Oh, the very first thing I would say is, you know, trust in yourself. Don't let anyone else tell you what you can't be or what you can't do, what you can't love. and you know, be strong and firm with that. Because I think for, you know, I think I lost, and I'm not going to say this is a bad thing, but I think I lost many of my years because, like I said, I was complacent and I wasn't willing to show the world who I truly was, what I loved. You know, I let someone else dictate who I was as a person. And that was, I'm going to say something that slowed me down, but it definitely was also something that I'm thankful for, because it gave me the years to understand, you know, both sides of it, what other people can kind of go through, what, you know, I went through. And I think every single person's journey, you know, will help them in the end, no matter it, whether it's good or bad. You know, I learned a lot of different things from that, and I can look back on it and understand that these are the things I don't want. So whether it's something you learn that you like or don't like, it definitely can help you. So I'm not going to say anything in the past is bad, but yeah, definitely I would tell myself to just be strong and be confident with who you are and what you love.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, that you've realized that over time, and, you know, with age came that wisdom. And there was a time that you've spoken about in your life from ages 10 to 20, where you don't even have any photos of yourself because you deleted them all because of self-esteem issues.
So that was actually more from the, I would say probably 16 to 26 time period, like kind of that age range. I mean, yeah, growing up, like I said, my growing up until I was 10 was just your very stereotypical household, you know, lovely, that type of thing. Lots of baby pictures, I'm sure, somewhere. And then, yeah, through elementary school, kind of, again, a very simple elementary school, you know, friends and playing some sports and all that type of stuff. It was, unfortunately, when I got into my first relationship that was very hard on me, because, you know, growing up, I'm still kind of the same kid adult kid, whatever you want to call it, that I was when I was younger, where, you know, I'm not super assertive. I have got to the point where I know how to be assertive, you know, through managing people's work day to day at my job and that type of stuff. You kind of have to learn how to be that. But if you're just to talk to me as a person, I'm definitely quiet. I'd be a little bit more passive, let people kind of do what they want, because I'm usually okay with it. But I was very, very much like that when I was younger. And that's kind of what I was taught as well. And I got into a relationship with someone who was very assertive, which is, you know, sometimes not such a bad dynamic, but this was to the point that it was definitely what I would say emotionally abusive, to the point that I didn't know who I was. There was definitely moments where I felt like I couldn't do anything. I couldn't have my own friends. You know, I wasn't able to take care of myself. Even going to the gym felt like it was something I wasn't allowed to do in some capacity. So there was so many things in my life during those 10 years that I was just scared of doing. And whether I was or wasn't allowed to, it felt like I wasn't. And it was just kind of this weird thing for many, many years, till the point that, yeah, I did. I got overweight. I completely lost track of who I was and what I loved. And I think my mom at the same point was extremely sad of, you know, that as well, because there was many times where, you know, she would be super, super supportive, but she would, you know, check in and hopefully help me out in any ways I could. I never became a bad kid. I just became super recluse and quiet and didn't do anything. When I was 26, 27 and the relationship ended, it's very hard, because not because it was hard to end the relationship, but because of getting out felt like it was almost impossible. You know, I felt like this was my life. I was already at an age where, you know, you should be settling down and all this type of stuff. I'd been with the person for so many years that you think that you know, you've invested all this time into it. This is how it's going to be. And then on top of that, you feel like there's emotional baggage that could come out, or this person could use against you, or anything like that, right? So it was extremely hard for me to leave it. But the one redeeming factor, one, there was a lot of redeeming factors, but one of the major things that has stuck with me to this day is the moment I got home from basically the end of that relationship. It was, my mom looked at me and she was like, "I have my Nathan back." And that's what she said to me. Yeah, you know, like, and it's true, because over from that moment forward, I was able to find who I was as a kid again. I could find my inner child and love the things that I loved, and show them to the world, and you know, just be me, my full authentic self. So I think that was it was definitely a challenging period of life. And again, like, I'm not going to say it was all bad. Of course, there was still a lot of good in there, and there's a lot of, you know, fun moments and things that helped me grow to be who I am today. But it was definitely it was definitely a chapter of my life, a big chapter of my life that could have gone differently.
Wow, you're almost making me tear up there, Nathan. I mean, it sounds like you're so close to your mom, you know, Mama Weird.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, because I, to be honest, we have a very cool relationship, I want to say. I'm not the best son, I will tell you that, because I am so bad at texting. Like, when it comes to texting people, like, she'll text me and I may not text her for a couple of days. Like, I am very bad with that type of stuff, but that's just, you know, how I am. But we love each other, you know, more than anything, and I definitely I'd do absolutely anything for her, and I know she would do the same for me, and we've kind of built this relationship that are almost like friends, but at the same time, you know, she's my mom. So yeah,
I love that. It's great. There's no other relationship, I think, like that. So it's great that you have that, and I'm sure she's so happy to see you now and where you're at in your journey, and mm-hmm. is fully supportive, probably your number one fan, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that, and you opening up. And I know you have your program, Hit for Heroes. Mm-hmm. So if someone is interested in learning more about that and having you as a coach, right? And being able to use those resources, where can they go?
Yeah, so you can, well, I mean, on any of my socials, I usually just have a link tree or a Beacons page that you can go to, and you'll find all the stuff there. Like you said, it's Hit for Heroes, HIIT, number 4, heroes.com. Yeah, it's definitely a different approach, and I'm very proud of what it is.
If you were to get on the big screen one day, I know you've talked about acting and that's something that you want to do. Who would you want your co-star to be?
Oh, my co-star? Well, I mean, if I could think of anyone, of course, it'd be Nicole. I mean, you know, she's talented. She's, you know, she's got the same mindset as me and the same love for, you know, fandoms and superheroes and things like that. And that's where I'd want to be. You know, if I were to get onto the big screen at some point in my life, it would be, you know, for DC or Marvel or Star Wars or, you know, any of those things that have completely changed my life, Hercules, of course. But any of these passions that I have that have made me who I am today, just to be involved in one of those things would be amazing. And understanding her love of this stuff too, she would deserve it. And that, you know, it doesn't hurt to have the chemistry with her either. So, yeah, it definitely hurt, but, I don't know. I don't know who else off the top of my mind. I'm really bad with actors and actresses' names and things like that. So I probably wouldn't be able to list very many either.
When we look at 2023, what goals do you have? What goals do you have for yourself this year?
Yeah, I think my biggest goal of the year is to get out to LA. You know, it's been... I love Toronto. I don't love the weather, actually. I was gonna say I love the weather, but I don't love the weather. I love the community here, the people here. I love everything about being in Canada. But you know, Nicole is in LA, and I think at a certain point, having a long distance relationship is a really, really hard thing to do. So just being given the opportunity to see if, you know, we, you know, can spend every day together in the same space is something that needs to happen. And I've been lucky enough to have a lot of time with her over the last couple of months. But I'd love to get out there and continue with our relationship and see how far it goes. Along with that, you know, the opportunities there, whether you're a content creator, an actor, or whatever it is, I think LA is kind of the place to be. So my goal for 2023 is to move out to LA. And I think the hardest part of that will be, you know, getting the monetary resources to, you know, live there for myself, and having my job here in Toronto doesn't, you know, bode well for being out in LA. So I'd have to figure out how to, I guess, make that money for myself.
I think you'll figure it out. I have a good feeling about it, and you'll get out there at some point. And I mean, yeah, how can you beat that weather, yeah, right?
True. Yeah.
Do you have any hidden talents?
Not really. I mean, I probably do. It was funny because I was hanging out on the couch with Nicole a couple days ago, and I don't know what we were talking about, but it was just one of those, like, you know, moments where I'm like, oh, do you love me? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'd love you more if you could juggle. And so I like pull out my juggling balls and start juggling. And she's like, what? You can juggle? I was like, I can juggle. Can't everyone juggle? But I wouldn't say like really hidden talents that I can think of. I probably have some. To me, they seem obvious. Like, you know, handstands and juggling and, you know, those quirky things you can do with like your eyes, like shaking them, or you know, I can squish my eyes, which is kind of a weird thing. It's not.
What do you mean? Let's see.
Like,
can you do it now?
Like, you might be able to hear it.
Oh wait, no, I don't know if I want to see this. Actually, I think let's not. I thought you were gonna like do something with it, but no, saying you're gonna actually squish. Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, I don't think I want to.
You can just straight up squish it and just, like, kind of so. Odd. I don't know if that's a talent. It's just, but
it's interesting. Some people may be interested in seeing it. I don't know if my stomach can take that right now. Noise. So if you one day had a memoir or a biographical movie come out about your life, what would it be called?
See, it's interesting. I would my mind always goes back to Zero to Hero, because that's how I felt as a person. That being said, I don't always love the connotation that goes with it, because saying anyone's a zero at any point of their life to me, you know, is not what I want, right? Like, because I was a little bit overweight, because I didn't really love myself, doesn't mean I'm a zero. It just means, you know, I wasn't happy with who I was as a person. So, I mean, that would be kind of the name I would think to go with, but I do have to preface that by saying, there's got to be a better word for it, because I don't think anyone's a zero.
I think I'd definitely pick up a copy of that. Getting to know you now, I feel like there's even more to your story to share. And yeah. I just want to thank you for spending the time with me today and sharing more of your story with me and also the listeners and the people watching. I really appreciate it, Nate. It's been great getting to know you.
Absolutely, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, you know, chatting about my life and talking to you. So we'll have to do it again sometime.
I would love that. And I actually forgot, but there's one other question I asked the last person I interviewed as well. Is there any question that you think that I should ask the next person I interview?
That's a great question. I guess one question I always like to hear is like what someone would do if, you know, they had all the resources in the world, all the money in the world to do something. What would they do with it?
Yeah. I mean, when you have all the resources at your fingertips, it's like, what would you do with your career? Yeah. I mean, for you, it sounds like you'd move to LA. That's the first thing.
straight up, I'd move to LA and you know, I don't know what I would do with the money, to be honest, because I would probably want to live in the same exact same lifestyle I'm in right now. You know, obviously some things would be easier. I'd want to give it back. I'd want to give back in some capacity, you know, like donating to Trans Lifeline or any communities like that. But at the same time, you know, once you donate, you don't really see where that money goes either. And that's the other thing, is like, how can you make the most out of it? Like, what can we actually do to make an impact, to make a statement? And is there something else there? So it's definitely one of those things where it would take a lot to think about to do the right thing. But yeah, I don't know.
That's a great question.